The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
JD, it's on.
The FIFA World Cup begins at 8 p.m. Irish time. Mexico against South Africa, the first of 104 games. Shane and Kira, let the greatest show on earth begin at the Estadio Azteca in Mexico City.
I was doing my leaving cert the last time the World Cup was in Mexico, 1986, 40 years ago. I missed a lot of the early games.
I thought you were going to say I missed a lot of my exams.
No, I didn't.
You were sensible even then, Shane.
Look, I have to study, you know. There's a lot. I think it's fair to say a lot of the early games are not the most attractive, but there are some really good fixtures in those early rounds as well, aren't
there?
Well,
I'm just looking, as I said, Mexico, South Africa gets it all underway at 8 p.m. Then we have 3 o'clock in the morning. This is how it's going to go. Guadalajara, South Korea against the Czech Republic. It could have been us, unfortunately.
Oh.
And then tomorrow night, Canada, Bosnia, Herzegovina in Toronto. But on Saturday, you've got Brazil against Morocco, probably the first big game.
Oh, yeah. That's Brazil is always good. And Morocco are decent.
Morocco did well in the last
week. Semi-finals,
well remembered, Kerr.
New Jersey. And then on Sunday, we have Netherlands, Japan. That'll be good in Dallas.
Two good teams.
And we have Germany making their debut in the competition against Curaçao, one of four teams that are making their first appearance. Uzbekistan and Jordan.
It is very hard to hear Curaçao and Uzbekistan and no Ireland, isn't it? Like we're like the little matchstick girl of football with our little noses pressed up against the television.
There's a lot of good
teams
like Italy here. There's a lot of good European nations that aren't in the World Cup.
Yeah,
we're not alone.
Look, it is a truly global tournament, I suppose. That's the other side of it. But when I was 7, I got a Panini album and I was awake to sport early enough, and just the colour beamed through the television screen in poor Ireland back then. Just wanted to walk into the television because Diego Maradona made me fall in love with the game.
Was this 1990 or 86?
86.
86.
First one I remember.
Someone else was talking about 1980. People are texting in their World Cup memories and keep them coming.
Yeah, brilliant ones coming in.
France v Brazil, Mexico 86. Yes. What a game. I was 12 and we were in Trebolgan and Cork.
One all,
probably on their Halliers.
And penalties. France win on penalties.
Yes.
I mean, having Zico and Platini on the same pitch. I mean, wow, what a treat.
Remember that being late at night? And then I was 11 for Italia 90. I mean, Italia 90, for anybody lucky enough to remember, is to me the greatest cultural moment in the history of the country. The country just stopped for it. You're the top 8 in the world. David O'Leary scores the penalty. And this is interplanetary. Where are we going with this? It was just incredible.
It was almost unbelievably good. It was almost too good to be true, wasn't it? Italia 90.
It was. It was a pinch yourself a few weeks. Listener says, I remember being outside Tonos on Baggot Street after the quarterfinal. Everyone was out in the street. A cop car was driving up and people were standing on the bonnet and roof of the cop car. Needless to say, they didn't do anything about it, says Adrian.
But it was the birth of the nation in ways. So we're a young nation.
Birth of the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, the flag symbolising the best of us. And
reclaiming of the flag.
Whether it was outside your bedroom window or you know, as Con Hoolan always said, I missed Italia 90. I was in Italy at the time.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to be at the World Cup a couple of times to work at it. And the best day of my life was at the World Cup final because you think.
Which one were you, was it Russia?
In 2018. And just the scale, the grandeur of it, the scale, the colour, the humanity, the sharing of joy of people. And that's what it really should be owned by the supporters. And I was working at the time. But that's where these other things that are associated with
the
annoy,
coming annoys. In on this, JD. As a football fan all my life, I've never been less enthused, less interested in the World Cup. Trump, Infantino, inflated ticket prices, diluted quality, the bloated number of 48 teams and 104 matches have completely put me off. Kira, you did make a very good counter-argument the other day saying, yes, you agree with all that.
I do agree with all that.
But when we get into the meat, the later
joy,
rounds.
And you know, you guys are the football fans in the room, but I'm excited about the World Cup. And it's been in Russia. It's been in Qatar. It's been in other places where we questionable.
Yeah.
And why it's placed there and the timing of it and the heat and the money and all that has been a question for many years now about the World Cup, but it doesn't seem to take from the universal joy that occurs. Like I remember in 2010 when Spain won, I had a Spanish student staying with us, just over with us, and we watched it with him in our living room, and he was about 12, and he cried and cried and cried for joy, having won.
Have you seen the Bosnian World Cup song?
It is. I have, because you've sent it to me.
Check it out online. It is amazing, and it just captures the joy of a small nation making it to a World Cup finals.
And but that's it. If we were there, we wouldn't care how many teams are at the World Cup.
Exactly. I think all of that back noise, and remember about Qatar people, there was an argument whether you're even going to watch it and all this kind of, is trumped by
and the... And we had maybe the best World Cup final.
The people coming ever. Together. The you say about it being global, and it, the fans are not that. The fans are bigger than that, and the joy and the healthy nationalism that goes with it and all of that stuff. I think it's an antidote to the misery of the world that's all too prevalent.
You can have both conversations.
Loads of texts coming through. England versus Argentina, Mexico 86. Maradona scored two of the best goals in World Cup history within 20 minutes of each other. Watched in the sitting room with my dad. I was 10 and so happy. I don't know about the first one being the best, but certainly the most infamous or famous. Somebody else says McDaniel's pub at British Bay in 1982 when Northern Ireland beat Spain. Armstrong's goal, the whole pub is cheering for the North. The majority of supporters come from Dublin and Wicklow. We were shouting for a team to represent the whole country as we had never qualified by then. Can I admit something to my shame?
Go on.
I was cheering for Spain.
Oh, Shane Coleman.
I'll tell you why. I was jealous because we had never made it to a World Cup final.
Well, we were done out of the qualifications.
And I think we had a better team than the North, but I'm not proud of that fact. But it was pure jealousy.
I actually remember this line. Jeff Hurst scoring the fourth goal. Oh, sorry, it's just after jump. Jeff Hurst scoring the fourth goal and completing his hat trick in the 1966 World Cup. There's some people on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now. That's such a famous line, isn't it?
My memory has been interviewed by Elton Welsby for the Satan Greasy football program outside the Stadio Olimpico on the morning of the Ireland versus Italy World Cup quarterfinals. That's a nice memory as well. Loads and loads and loads of text coming. Much more, Kira.
It does, but what it says is that people, you know, the way you said you measure your life in World Cups, and I was saying that means you're only about 17. But you know what I mean? Like every 4 years, this huge event that matters to both of you hugely and loads of other people.
It's such a big part of your childhood. And the joy of your childhood and the innocence and the colour and the collecting the Panini stickers. I had the album 1986 and the colour of the teams, the jerseys, the strips.
World Cup stickers.
I was
talking to Senator Garrett O'Hearn the other day. Yeah. And he said, I think it was I can't remember which of the tournaments it was, maybe it was Italian 90. And he said there was one player, he and his friend, searched for months to get to complete the sticker. And he finally found it.
It's a great educational thing as well.
I presume
young
there
people.
Are sticker books still. Oh,
absolutely.
Today.
There's a Panini for 2026. It costs a bit of grand, Phil.
Yeah.
You were mentioning really good songs. The one from Bolivia, the Iron Brew, the Scottish, you sent that to me too, ad, where they're about being made of girders. And I was actually nearly crying watching that. Well, it's about the triumph of hope over expectation as well, isn't it?
You just hope that we can create an industry here in the country where we'll be at the World Cups in the future in Spain and Saudi Arabia and future World Cups.
If you want my World Cup memory, travelling overnight to the matches in Japan to the Irish Games and then getting the overnight bus back to Osaka and straight into work. I was living there at the time. All my friends went to that World Cup. I did not go, but I got something much better than a World Cup. My son was born during that World Cup. And I remember when we scored against Spain, running around the hospital room, trying not to wake him up, but jumping around the place.
That's fabulous.
This is really interesting. Someone has texted to say, whatever World Cup took place when you were aged between 10 and 14 is the one you remember most fondly. Oh, is there something in that?
Totally true.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the way, whatever.
So Spain for me and for you, JD.
Well, Mexico and Italian 90 because I was there.
Yeah, and Italian 90 for me because I was about 14 then.
Yeah. John from Limerick says, sorry, I'm going to be that guy. There's a lot of revisionist knowledge about Italian 90 and how it changed Ireland. Nonsense, yes, it was brilliant and hugely enjoyable. But Bert of a Nation, cop on, says John. Not Bert of a Nation, but it changed something in our psyche. For once, we weren't the sick man of Europe. For once, we weren't
Ireland
failures.
In
we,
the 90s
we succeeded at something. We succeeded and we were a success, not a failure. And it changed our psyche.
The Eurovision, Riverdance and Italian 90 changed the course of a nation.
Mary Robinson as well, becoming president, a female president.
We felt that we were different to how we'd seen ourselves before.
I can tell you the three best things to happen to this country have been Good Friday Agreement, the EU and Italian 90.
Okay, there you go.
On that note.
Another listener says, we were married June 30th, 1990, a day of highs and lows. Was that the day Italy knocked us out of the World Cup? I presume
Scalacci, who was in this building.
I met him, shook his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, what a striker he was.
So I'm delighted I haven't had to talk about Mexico and South Africa this evening, but I have done my research about the game.
Well, who's going to win that one?
I think Mexico. They're playing at altitude. Raul Jimenez, as we know, who's just rejoined Wolves, is probably the most famous player. But South Africa have got Lyle Foster of Burnley, but I think Mexico are in better form, good defensively. And then, as we say, the South Koreans with Heung-Min Son against the physical Czechs in the early hours of the morning. 104 games, folks. How many are you going to be able to see?
How many are you going to be able to stay awake for?
We should be in Guadalajara now, JD.
We should be.
Ah, stop. Anyway. And they probably would have sent us too.
I would have been going regardless. Try stopping me.
We will talk more about what happens overnight tonight, tomorrow. Thank you for that,
JD.
Thank
you, guys.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.